Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. In the garden before the fall, Adam and Eve had what we call preternatural gifts. They were, of course, created without sin. And because of that, all of their intellect and their will worked perfectly together, and their passions were obedient to the intellect and the will. So there were no bits of anger or fits of anger or crying or things like that, because everything was reasonable. And they had a perfect harmony between the two of them, and they were in harmony with God, and they were in harmony with all of creation. And a special gift, because they were body and soul, which is different than the angels, God gave them a special gift that their bodies would not die. Because our bodies are what make us like the animals. And so naturally, even in paradise, the animals would still have died. But Adam and Eve would not physically die. And so this unity between them was perfect. There was no disharmony. Everything was perfect. And then they sinned. And all of the preternatural gifts were forfeited. The body dies, the intellect, the will, a darkened intellect, a weakened will, the passions unruly, no more harmony between man and woman, no more harmony between them and God, and no more harmony between them and creation. So fast forward thousands of years, and you come to Nazareth, and you have a man who's God. And you have a woman who's sinless. So obviously, as St. Paul makes clear in different places in his writings, you have the new Adam, Jesus Christ, and the new Eve, his mother. There's a huge difference. Even though they have the same gifts that Adam and Eve had, the Lord is in a whole different category, obviously, because he is united to the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But there's a harmony between Jesus and his mother that doesn't exist between anybody else on earth. And their sinlessness, while a gift, is a great burden because they live amongst sinners. There's nothing more difficult than being perfect among people who aren't. Now, before we immediately think the way that I would think, maybe you would too, you know, we usually think that people who think they're perfect, they have a problem, and they do, because they aren't perfect. But in this case, there was no problem, because it wasn't like there was no pride in the Blessed Virgin. There was no pride in the Lord. And that's what makes them so powerful. that the most perfect creation of God is his mother. And she has no pride about who she is. And her intellect and her will are in perfect harmony, and the passions that she has respond perfectly to reason. And I mention all this on this Feast of the Immaculate Heart because I read something about St. Catherine that was very powerful. She asked the Lord, she had all sorts of mystical experiences in her short life, and she asked the Lord for the salvation of all of her family and friends. And she said, let me have some suffering that will make that possible for them, that they'd be able to go to heaven immediately. And she received the stigmata. And so that just drives home the point of that was just for a few people. And here you have the new Adam and the new Eve who have come. The Lord has come to redeem the whole world, and he's decided to do it with the help of his mother. Now, he doesn't need her help. She's not providing anything extra that he can't do. Everything of salvation is from the Lord and through him being united to Christ. But as St. Louis de Montfort says, he chose her. And he gave her these gifts, not just so that he could come through a spotless vessel, although that was important, but for us. The immense suffering of the sinless among the sinful is something none of us here know. But Jesus and Mary do. I can't remember. I think it's St. Bernard who said, everything he suffered, she suffered in her heart. And everyone who is a parent understands that. When you see your child suffer and you can't stop it, the immense suffering for both parents, but in a particular way for the mother. But Our Lady brings that suffering to a new level because of her sinlessness. She deserved none of it. And like her son, she accepted all of it. And so we come today to celebrate this great feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I think sometimes we can be a little tempted to almost saccharinize her Immaculate Heart. Like we don't realize that every gift she has is for the salvation of mankind. Everything that God gave her was so that we could be redeemed by her son, who she consented to bring into this world. And by her fiat, she accepted a suffering that she did not know was coming, but she accepted every bit of it. And I love to think at the foot of the cross, the sisters have heard this a million times, she's at the foot of the cross, she's standing at the foot of the cross, full of faith and hope that he will rise because he said he would. And those are the two things that the Lord never had, because he didn't need faith, because he's God, and he didn't need hope because he's God. God, man. And then one of the sisters in the reflections on one of the Saturdays once said, I thought it was so profound, that she adored him as God on the cross. And everything that he had given her was offered back to Christ, through Christ, to the Father, for the redemption of the world. And so that's why many of the saints, it's not a capital T tradition, hold that at the resurrection, the Lord first made a stop off to tell his mother, even though she was fully expecting it. And then she's there, just like at the foot of the cross, she's there to support John and Mary Magdalene and the others. And then at Pentecost, she's in the upper room for those 9 days, and she's there to support them as they prepare for the birth of the church. And just like that, she's still with us, to support us, to be with us with her great gifts that help us to realize what we have been created for, not for this world, but for the next. And so finally, I'd like to mention just one last thing, and it's about the rosary. Obviously, the sisters have a great devotion to the rosary, and I think everybody here does too. And I think it's the fourth promise of the rosary is that those who are devoutly committed to the rosary will be able to destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresy. And you can bet that yesterday is a part of the result of the literally millions, probably billions of rosaries that have been prayed for the last 49 years. We took a huge step in destroying vice in this country. And on this Feast of the Immaculate Heart, remembering that yesterday was the Sacred Heart of Jesus and also the birthday of John the Baptist, you know, in secular eyes, it was just June 24th. But for us, it was so much more than that. It was a sign of the divine providence and of the promises that are made that he keeps. And so we shouldn't obviously be putting our rosaries down just because there's a little Supreme Court victory. There's much more to do. And so we go to the Immaculate Heart and we go to the Sacred Heart and we beg them to eradicate this evil now on a state-by-state place. That these two who have brought salvation will help us to be missionaries of that same grace. Because we need, in this country as in everywhere, we need the grace of Jesus Christ, and we know that he's given us that grace through his mother, and we need to beg her to beg him to give us all the graces we need to truly be a country where we could proudly say, God bless America.